Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Chase my problems and time keeps on dragging. Can't get away from the fact I've been slacking. Oh, despite the cost, you know I got to trot on, trot on.
What up, Dynasty players in the house? It's Dynasty War Games, and I'm your host, Jesse Schneeman. And it's a normal show tonight. Just got a couple co-hosts. We're going to play a game. Talk some rookies, have a good time. Joining me is my main man, Chad Mendoza. How you doing tonight, Chad?
I am fantastic, Jesse. Glad to be here. Been working pretty hard. Ready to wind down, talk some football, talk some dynasty, and talk some rookies, man.
I'd say it's dark out and you're podcasting from work. That's pretty dedicated, man.
Yeah. Don't say that too many times because I don't know if I'm supposed to be doing this, but I am. So
right on.
Maybe I'll be all right if I keep my camera off.
And the auspicious Austin Bell. How you doing tonight, Austin?
Pretty good, man. Recovering from the flu, so I want to go ahead and preface if you hear sniffles and stuff, that's me. I try to mute when I can, but I'm getting better slowly. Fever is broken, so here we are, ready to talk some rookies.
God bless. All right, gentlemen, we got a game tonight. Like I said, we're going to play a little bit of defend your rankings. So we've given each other our rankings. We've kind of looked them over and decided some of them maybe a little suspect. So we're going to ask each other to defend our rankings. And then the other two are going to vote whether, you know, you convinced us or not. Sound good?
Let's do it.
All right, I like it. Austin, start us off. Defend having Marshawn Lloyd at RB4 above Blake Corum.
All right, seems pretty easy. Let's start. Give the basics 5'8", 220. Ran a 4.46 40 at 5'8", 220. With the more impressive thing of 1.55 10-yard split, 90th percent speed score, which puts him in the high percentile of showing success in the NFL landscape. 9.29 RAS score. From the tape side, I enjoyed seeing the footwork and explosion going through the hole. Quickness after, especially after first contact, getting back up to speed. And speaking of contact, contact balance was one of my favorite things I watched. I'll go ahead and say the negatives. The biggest one from him is ball security. That's the one everybody mentions when he brings it up. But we've seen that plenty of times going from college to pro. It's something that can be improved on. And the only other negative I saw on the tape was he did like to bounce plays outside. But that probably goes towards the athleticism. It goes into the right system. That doesn't bother me one bit. But it just feels like a prototypical running back that can give you the RB1 ceiling. And when I'm going for in this running back class, give me the ceiling over the floor play. So that's why Corum's lower.
So testing is your answer.
That was my confirmation. The rest of, I mean, the tape is what I already had him above.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he doesn't really have much of an idea even how to play running back, in my opinion. What about the vision? Do you see anything there that you like?
It was hit or miss. I'll give you the negative at it sometimes, but then I watched the next play and it was like, oh, he hit it perfect, exactly where he needed to go, and he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's definitely not as experienced or as fluid as Corum. That's definitely Corum's positive. If you're going to try to compare the two there, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my rebuttal would be that we knew that Marshawn Lloyd was going to test well. We knew he was a better athlete than Corum. But, well, so you're saying you had him above Corum going into the...
I did, but I've told you for a while, I'm just not a Corum guy. He's a floor play for me, and at running back, I rarely want to take a floor play with the early second-round pick, which is pretty much where I'm going to have to take him.
So the elite footwork, the, you know, the football instincts, the fact that he's MJD incarnate, he's do nothing for you? What about this? What about this? He had the most reps on the bench press out of any running back, so maybe the strongest.
Who?
And I mean, you can look at the legs.
Are we talking about Corum or Lloyd?
Corum.
I thought we were talking about Lloyd here.
I don't know. I'm talking about, well, I switched to Corum. That's the elite footwork.
Oh, okay.
The
okay,
football
okay.
instincts. Like the things that Lloyd doesn't have. Like
when they start giving you points for powerlifting, we'll start talking about it. But I mean, bench press, I mean, I mean, it means something. It just doesn't mean a lot.
It just means he's strong. What do you think?
It means he can bench a lot. I mean, it doesn't mean that he's gonna run with as much power as his bench press says he will. But I mean, I think he's a good running back. I have Marshawn Lloyd ahead of him as well. But I also had Marshawn Lloyd ahead of him before the testing. So I think that Corum is going to be a good player in a or could be a good player in a good offense that gives him a good amount of space to run with. I just don't know that. I mean, it's going to take a pretty special landing spot for me to move him up to where you have him here, Jesse.
Well, you know, I did move him down.
Yeah,
I moved him down to number two. So I had Trey Benson number one. But that's more based on Benson testing better than I expected him to. And at that size, him being a little bit of a freak, to be honest with you. Okay, so what do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down, Chad?
Thumbs up for me.
On Austin's argument, I'm going thumbs down.
No, duh. Well, I'm going to go thumbs up. Look at there, 2-1.
All right. All right, so I guess we're giving you a thumbs up for that one. Point for Austin. All right, cool. I mean, you can be a Marshawn Lloyd fan all you want. I mean, everybody gets stuck with crappy second, third round running backs on their team. I was high on Khalil Herbert. What can I tell you?
He had your moment to sell him. Look,
yeah, I did a bunch of places.
Two or three game span. Yeah.
All right, you got any questions for anyone, Austin?
I got one for you since you just came at me with mine. Mr. Ricky Persall from Florida, I see you have a wide receiver 9. Can you explain yourself?
Absolutely. So the physical comp is Chris Olave. I mean, the production's not there, but man, is this kid smooth. All over the tape, like just instant open. I mean, pretty much a ready-made starting slot player in the NFL. Going to be in the right offense, a target hawk. I have him in number 9. It's not like I think he's like one of the elite players in this draft, but
that's pretty high in this class. I want to go ahead and say that. I agree, 9 doesn't sound bad, but in this receiving class, that feels pretty high.
Wide receiver 9 could be wide receiver 3 in a lot of classes in this class.
Yeah, that's exactly my point.
Okay, so I have him above Burton, Coleman, Keon Coleman, Roman Wilson, Malik Washington, Corley Polk. Do you have any – Leggett. Do you have any of those guys above Pearsall?
Wilson, Corley, Coleman, Polk.
Yeah, okay. I really like Coleman. Who were the other ones?
Roman Wilson and Malachi Corley.
I have him ahead of those two guys, Corley.
Those are kind of in the same spot for me.
Yeah.
Like they're in the same tier of guys that if they go to the right spot, they'll jump the other two. So those didn't really bother me that much. But I think Coleman, Polk are just a different level receiver.
Yeah, I think, I agree. I agree. And I really like Purcell. But I think Coleman and Polk are better players.
Jalen Polk doesn't impress me that much. He's more of a, I think from a fantasy standpoint, he doesn't have any traits that make me think that he's going to command targets. He's not an elite separator. He's a good separator. He's not extremely fast. He's got good speed. He's got good hands. He doesn't make amazing catches away from his body. He's not a contested catch guy. He's more of a move the sticks guy to me that isn't really going to produce in fantasy. That's why I have him a little lower. I do think he's a good football player, very good football player, very smooth. But Pearsall is like the instant open, and he showed exceptional athleticism, like in the combine. Really surprised me. Just kind of took what I saw on tape to another level. So if I see a guy that is this smooth and has those hands and can get open that easily, and then I see those testing numbers, like I said, he comps to Chris Olave just without the production.
So you're saying athletically he comps to Chris Olave. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly, athletically.
But I mean, athletically, you know, Chris Olave, while he's a really, really quick player. I mean, Purcell just doesn't have the main part of Olave's game, which is just the crafty route running ability at an elite level, which is Olave's trait. I mean,
that's true.
And Olave's not good after the catch either.
Yeah.
Well, and neither is Pearsall. I mean, this is a type of receiver that I like. It's the smooth separator. But that being said, he's part of a huge tier that includes all of those guys
Didn't color code your tiers, so how do we know that?
That's what the discussion's for. There's no color coding on Apple Notes.
That's true.
I tried, actually. So right. Maybe I should have put a bar. But yeah, like really Ladd McConkey had 8, and then there's a pretty big drop off to between 8 and 9, and then the rest of those guys. That's probably the main part of my argument.
Yeah, that threw me for a loop when I was looking through. I was like, oh, okay, Ladd's at 8. I can live with that. And then I was like, hold on, Purcell's right behind Ladd? Like it felt that was the first name I saw looking through your rankings, and I was like, whoa.
Ladd comps to Garrett Wilson athletically, by the way. Without the
I saw Daniel Jeremiah post that.
Yeah, I heard him say it on his
but that's podcast. Not.
I love like
that in the space.
I love like let's comp every player to like the best players in the league.
Yeah,
every year.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun.
Yeah,
I'm at the point where I kind of love everybody. There's only a few guys I don't like.
There's a Larry Fitzgerald every year. Who's one that's always gets a comp?
Oh, Larry did just get comped. I can't remember who that was.
Every year he gets a comp.
AD Mitchell.
Yeah, I think no, because Mitchell ran too fast. Yeah. I don't remember who it was. It might have been Adunes, to be honest.
Mm. Adunes ran Rome run really fast.
Yeah, but he didn't run 4.34 fast.
4.7.
I mean, for his size, though, I mean that's much faster than Larry Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Larry was like a 4.56, but I think the rest of if I'm not mistaken, I think that's who it was, and the rest of them were like identical.
Isn't it crazy how slow Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald were on the same team? Mm-hmm. Like as far as and just how good they were together. It's pretty incredible.
Anquan wasn't that slow coming out though.
Yes, he was really slow.
It was 4.6 something.
Was he really?
4.6. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
never mind.
Yeah, he might have been one of the slowest players to be successful in the league. I think he was something crazy, like a 4.6, 4.65 or 4.67 or something like that.
Speaking of 4.62 40s, Chad, defend having Keon Coleman as your wide receiver 5.
4.61, I believe it was. Keon Coleman, not about the speed. I mean, you watch the guy play, and he's just comfortable – with what he's doing on the field, and he's just starting, which is absolutely incredible because, you know, he was a pretty big basketball player beforehand. But anyways, you go and you look at the drills on the field. I think altogether he might have had the best workout with anybody on the field and played more confident than anybody. And you see that in relation to his 40 time, to his speed within the drills, right? The gauntlet speed, he had the fastest time of anybody in the last 2 years. And it wasn't even close. I think he ran 5 miles per hour faster than Franklin did in his drills. And Franklin is a much faster player.
Didn't he fall down on one of them? Coming out of it?
No, I didn't see him fall.
Oh, okay. That's why I posted that in the chat. You're like, because I said it made me laugh. But I guess maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention. I could
get someone else. Yeah, so he had the fastest time in the gauntlet drill of the last 2 years and looked incredible, straight line the entire way. It was a pretty phenomenal gauntlet. And then in the for the drills running the routes, he had the third fastest time on the slant. He had the fourth fastest dagger. He had the second fastest go and the second fastest slot strike. I mean, he's just playing fast, and that's what I like about him. It's not about, hey, what can you do in shorts and a t-shirt? How fast can you get out of your stance in the 40? It's about when you have the pads on, how comfortable are you playing? How fast are you playing? Do you know what you're doing out there? Do you feel confident in your hands? And to me, he has all of that. And so that's what I like about him.
Play speed. So do you think he's fast enough to not be David Bell?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Totally 100%. Different receiver.
Yeah, 100%. And one of the things I really like about Keon Coleman too is you look at a player and you say, all right, he's running a 4.61. There's a reason why they have this guy returning punts. You can put the ball in this guy's hand anywhere on the field and he can make plays. He's not just a go down deep and snatch the ball out of the air. He can do that and he's phenomenal at it. But he's also a guy that can command a lot of targets and do a lot of dirty work in short yard situations. So I really, really like Keon Coleman. I think he can be not just a number one wide receiver, but I think he can be a guy that, you know, you can really design an offense around if he ends up in the right situation and lives up to what I think he can be. So.
Okay.
I've got no issues. So I have him currently at wide receiver 9. But both of y'all, I'm assuming, looked at my rankings, and it's all in that green tier of wide receiver 4 through 10. And they're all just completely fluid right now. Seeing Keon test the 4.6, I was like, man. And then all the other stats came out, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. I felt much better after seeing, like, the 10-yard split was a huge one for me. I think it was top 5 or 6 in the class at a 1.56. That made me feel much better because – that if that size, if you can get off that quick, that tells me what I need to know is for a receiver on the short area stuff. Honestly, I don't have any issue where he's 5 is probably a little high for me, but I do believe the NFL is going to like him. And as long as he doesn't, you know, get out of the top 50 picks in the draft, then I'll have no issue with him being in that somewhere between 4 and 10 in the class.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I have him at 11, but it's mostly because, you know, he's in the same tier as Pearsall, Burton. I really like Pearsall and Jermaine Burton. So it's not that I don't like Keon Coleman. I'll say that my fear was that he was going to run slow, and then he did. I wonder how much the NFL punishes him for that.
When you go out there after that 40 and you on the actual on the field drills where football is involved, yeah, where you're actually receiving passes and you're just blowing every other receiver out the water. I mean, and that ran, you know, almost a full 10th of a second fast, or, you know, over 10th of a second faster than you. I mean, I think that definitely counts for a lot.
Puka ran the fastest gauntlet last year.
Yeah.
Ran the fastest. Yes.
Yep, and Coleman's was faster than and Dell did something similar too, where his RAS was really low. I think Puka and his RAS were really low, and Keon Coleman's RAS is not low, but his grading on the RAS is still really high. But as far as Puka and Tank go, I know that was something that I was really really interested to see going forward, keeping an eye on some of these RAS scores and the ones that score low. Can we find ways to identify why these guys are outliers in the way that they are with the drills? Because both of those guys looked phenomenal, whether that was at the Senior Bowl, whether that was at in the gauntlet drill and some of the on-field workouts. It's I think that can help a little bit there in trying to understand that.
Okay. I'm willing to give you a thumbs up. What about you, Austin?
Oh, yeah. I have no problem with it.
All right. You get a point. We forgot to vote on Pearsall. Do you guys give me a thumbs up or thumbs down on that?
I'll go thumbs up.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Points all around. Look at that. Austin had to vote for himself to get a point, by the way.
Yep.
All right. I mean, that's cool. I think my biggest concern with Keon Coleman is that he's maybe an outdated type of receiver in the NFL, but if he goes to the right offense that uses him in the right way, he'll be fine.
I think that's a misconception, because his 40 time is a bit slower than you'd like to see, and then also he's just a big guy that looks like he can play X, that should be able to play X, He does a lot of stuff that, you know, current day wide receivers have to be able to do, which is that's in the short game. And that's why, I mean, he's good in small spaces. He's just a good short yardage player too. And that's, I think that's what makes him different. I think people are paying too much attention to just kind of the perception around him as a player and some of the players that have found success in recent years, as far as, you know, being more slender, being quicker and that kind of stuff. I just think there's still a space for a bigger guy that is comfortable in his skin, that can do a lot of the short area stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe I'm holding what he does well against him with the contested catch.
I think that's a good way to put it. And I don't think by any means you're the only one. I think that's a large subset of the dynasty community.
Okay. I am concerned that I'm too low on him and the right draft capital will probably make me come around.
Question for y'all. I want to throw a couple spots out. I see a lot of like late first to early second, so I'm going to name three spots and see if any of them sell it. Ugh, I don't want it. One, Baltimore. Two, let's go Buffalo. And three, Carolina. If he goes to those three, do you like him less, more, feel any different about it?
I like the two latter. Buffalo and Carolina.
Yeah, I was going to say I don't really like Baltimore as a landing spot for a receiver.
I think we're going to see it. So as much as it sucks, we're going to see somebody go there.
You know who I think is going to end up going there? I think it's going to be Franklin.
Yeah, actually, honestly, wouldn't that be one of the better spots for him of the bad spots, if that makes sense?
They have things in their defense that they need to fix, and they could take a wide receiver later. I'm not 100% convinced that they'll take a wide receiver, but it's not a good landing spot, if you ask me. If it happens, I mean, every year, you know, things happen that we don't want to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Franklin just seems like one of those Baltimore kind of players to me.
Yeah. Makes sense when you said it.
Zach Charbonnet's still on Seattle, and we still don't want that to happen. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's go back to Austin. Why do you have Javon Baker? Where do you have him?
Wide receiver 14, sir.
Seems high.
You know who's right above?
Who's that?
Ricky Pearsall.
All right. Why would you have Javon Baker above Ricky Pearsall? Go.
I'm going to start with the numbers, and then I'll go through the tape. Another 1.58 10-yard split was what I needed to see after the slower 4.54 40. Ninth in the class on the open rate against man coverage, and had a 4.89 yards per route run versus man coverage, which was very high. I think it was like 3 in the class. Overall had a 3.03 yards per route run, which is another really good indicator for college to pro success. Anything above 3 usually means they're going to produce. was a high four-star recruit that got went to Alabama the same time when Judy, Ruggs, Waddle, Devonta Smith, all those guys there. So he realized, hey, I'm not going to get to play there, so I'm going to go to UCF and show my game. And that's exactly what he did. I really like his short area footwork and work off the line. I enjoyed the twitch out of the routes because he doesn't have elite speed. He doesn't have elite athleticism, but he knows how to get open. He knows how to stack his defensive back, especially on the in-breaking routes. One of my favorite things, which is just me enjoying the tape, was his blocking. The dude is just an angry blocker. One of those guys that run and pow, my God, you just knock your socks off. And that's just something I enjoyed. And one other stat I saw. So if you do all the receivers in the class, curl routes, crossers, and goes with a minimum of 50 attempts, so any of the main receivers in the class, he's first in the class on yards per route run on those three routes. So it shows he can do the short, the mid, and the deep to a level that at least can succeed. Just one of the guys I like. I think he's solid. I have no complaints with him, to be honest.
excuse me, they're probably the three easiest routes to run. So that's my problem with Javon Baker, number one, is the route tree. Number two is the speed does not show up because he's, to me, he had to go from Alabama to UCF to be successful, right? And the competition is noticeably bad. And I just don't think he's fast enough to do what he does in college in the NFL. Like, these goes and curls aren't going to work for him because he's just not fast enough. And D-backs will laugh at him. That's my concern. And that's why he reminds me of Jalen Tolbert.
I like Tolbert coming out, so I could see that.
I liked Tolbert a little bit and then learned my lesson. Chad, what do you think?
Yeah, he's an interesting one. I haven't done too much, tape study on Javon Baker, UCF. I mean, but anyways, I think he's all right. I like the profile. I like some of the, statistics that Austin was reading off. I just haven't watched too much of him, but from what I did watch, the one thing that concerns me is he just looks a little slow. I don't know, and for his size, you would think he'd be a little bit quicker, a little bit more sure-handed, but I don't know if that's just in the couple of games that I watched where, he had a few drops there. Maybe that's an outlier and not a normal thing, but on a few read-ups, I've seen that other people mention that, so makes me believe that maybe it's not just an isolated incident with him. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm not going to talk too much about him. I haven't done too much tape on him.
So I think you made a convincing argument, though, Austin. I just don't think athletically doesn't compare to Pearsall. And I just don't like
him. Oh, he definitely doesn't. That. No doubt. But I think if you look at the amount of – I think he gets open just as often with way less athleticism. So that tells me he's either a better receiver or, I mean, obviously the competition wasn't as high, but I don't know. I watched the tape and I felt they were both open equally.
He's a fun guy to watch run routes though. I mean, he looks pretty confident with his route running ability. So, it's going to be interesting. I just need to do more work on him. So I'm going to abstain my vote because I don't know enough.
Austin, you're at 14. But... Yeah, Austin, you're at 14. I'm at 21. I mean, there are guys. I will say, based on your argument, maybe there are guys that I'm not even high on, like Johnny Wilson and Tez Walker that I have above him. So maybe I'm a little low. Cool. So I'll give you the thumbs up.
Appreciate you.
Where do you see as far as where he goes in the draft, in the actual NFL draft?
Probably early day three, given the amount of talent in the position. I would love to see late day two, but probably early day three. He's probably looking somewhere between wide receiver 15 and 22 off the board. It's just, I feel like he's going to be, if he can get in the spot where he can be the wide receiver three on a team early on, I think he can succeed, because I think he's already nuanced enough on his routes that he has the ability to get open. So if the quarterback can throw in the ball, then you could get an early chance at value gain.
I feel like late day three. I see him as for some reason, I feel like he'll go to the Packers in the fourth or the fifth round and then get on the field almost immediately.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of third round, maybe a late third round buzz for him. I think that'll be good for him if he goes there, you know.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that.
Maybe late second round, early third round pick in the in dynasty drafts. Depending on landing spot.
The depth in this class could push him down a bit, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, depending on landing spot, that looks like it's probably going to be his range, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking to throw a third at him anyway in the rookie draft. That's kind of where I'm at with him. You know, it's just one of the guys that I'm in the third. If I see his name, he goes to somewhere I like, I'm like, oh, I'll take a shot on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, cool. Chad. Excuse me, Chad. Why are you so low on Troy Franklin? Why you hate Troy Franklin? I'm like barely in your top 10. What's up with that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I like Troy Franklin. It's just one of those. I think Austin mentioned it earlier. It's really hard to separate those guys in that third tier. There's just a lot of them, and he's at the end of that tier for me. I really like Troy Franklin. I think he can be a really good player. I think he runs routes fairly well. He's got a lot of quickness to his game. I really, really, really like him as far as when he has open space. I just think he's going to be one of those players that's going to need to be in a certain offense to find a lot of work. I think he could be one of those guys we look at, you know, down the road and say, man, completely different player, but Rashad Bateman kind of player, where you're just like, if this guy maybe went to a different offense where they actually, you know, put some stuff around him and let him get into open space and had some really fun design for him, he could be really good. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't see him. I've heard like the Chris Olave, and I think you might have comp Chris Olave to somebody earlier, but I've heard some like Chris Olave comp Pearsall, that's right. I heard some Chris Olave comps for Troy Franklin. I just don't see it.
I don't see it either. I will say so did the 40 spook you at all?
I mean, it didn't help him, but I'm not one of those people that, you know, is I don't know. I mean, I thought he would run faster. I just didn't think 4.41 still plenty fast. I mean,
it upset me. He didn't run it twice, more than anything.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
Like the 4.41s, whatever. But like, dang, do it again. Let me see if you can break the 4.3s. Like
the 10-yard split is what was concerning for me a little bit, because I thought even with the 4.41, his 10-yard split would be a bit quicker than you know 1.61.
Keon Coleman's was, I think, 155, 156, so that shows you the difference.
Yeah,
he should have run it again. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he just had a bad cutoff on that one run, whatever. I mean, it's he's obviously fast as hell on tape.
Yes.
I'm not worried
about that. But that's the thing, though, is if he didn't run it again, he must have been happy with it, you know?
Or maybe he tweaked something.
That was the only thing I thought.
I think that would have been put out there, though. If he would have tweaked something, they would have definitely said something about that. Every time a player tweaks something and that's why they don't run, they make sure to get that out there because they want people to know.
One of the things that concerns me with him is the hands. There's with every other receiver around him, I'm like, oh, yeah, really good hands. Not really good hands with him. There's a lot of drops on tape. So
yeah.
And I just don't think that he's, yeah, he he worries me more than Worthy that he's just the speed guy.
Yeah.
Oh, Worthy's not just the speed guy.
Right. Exactly. Which yeah. I don't think Franklin is either. I do think that he's, you know, he's crafty and he's he can run good routes. So he's got a decent route tree. More extensive than you would think. You know, playing in that offense, but still 10 I think is a little low.
He's really good in open space. I just think he's going to need the right offense, and that's my worry with him. There's some players that I think could be – his ceiling is obviously really high. I think Troy Franklin could be a really, really good player. It's for me, it just depends on landing spot. Like, he's going to need one of those guys where they have a good offensive mind that can use him properly. And if he finds that offense, he can be really, really dangerous.
I'm trying to figure out who you have above him. So, AD, Ladd, Keon Coleman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm missing somebody.
Mitchell? Xavier Worthy? Let me pull up. Hold on.
Is it Leggett?
Yep, Leggett's above him too.
Yep.
Woo!
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to have to explain yourself on this one, Jesse. Because both of us have him in their top 10.
I don't think he looks like an NFL wide receiver. Maybe he's the one that fell down. He looked real boxy and square on film. He looks like he's wearing a refrigerator box.
The dude's built like a refrigerator. What do you expect?
Exactly. That's not really what I want. There's only one DK Metcalf, and he's not it. And he's certainly not Deebo Samuel. He came in 2 inches and 20 pounds lighter.
1 3/4, and he's still 2.
Yeah, he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be 6'4", 240. He was supposed to be like Deebo, and he's not. He's not.
Deebo's not 240 pounds.
Yeah,
230. All right, 230.
But Deebo still, probably Deebo's, came out around 220, right?
Deebo's a monster, and this guy's not that. So he's not in the same mold at all. There's only one Deebo, and those people that compare him to Deebo are just.
Well, they're just helmet that, scouting. That's all that is. But
and yeah, that's what that
Deebo's 215.
Yeah, I was wondering what you was talking about. Yeah. He came.
I was like 240.
He's a linebacker.
Imagine
no, but seriously,
on Deebo.
Seriously though, that's one of those people that gets a comp to him every year now is Deebo, as a type of wide receiver. Well, yeah, it's great,
he's so unique.
Yeah, you could also have LaVisca. All right, so if you shoot for Deebo and miss,
yeah,
you get LaVisca Chenault.
But they're totally different. LaVisca was a terrible route runner in college. He was only good after the catch.
Yeah,
Deebo's Leggett not a runner, is nothing though. Like that.
And Leggett is not a good route runner. He can't even.
Yes, he is.
Turn to the side.
I don't agree with that.
He can't
at all.
Make a left-hand turn. I think he might fall.
Well, then he needs to just set up on the left and go right all day, because he sure can go right.
You know what
did worry me a little bit though? There were some games where he was getting pressed and he was just struggling. And you just don't expect that for somebody with his explosiveness and his size. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. You know, like you're like, dude, do something. Like they're inviting you to be physical.
It looks like Tarzan plays like Gene.
I don't think that's fair for his game in the entirety. I just think there were certain situations where he just looked like he wasn't willing, and that was one thing that worried me a little bit. I think that goes away if with a little bit more experience in the league as far as getting coached up on hand fighting and getting off of press, but. Yeah, I think if there was one weakness that worried me, that was a little bit of what I saw.
Seriously though, he was supposed to come in at 6'4", 220.
Yeah, but we found that out like weeks ago. That so was he's, the combine.
All right. Well, I'm not saying it's the combine. I'm just saying this is who he is. He's 6'1" and a half and 200. So he's much smaller than Deebo. If Debo's 215, right? He's 15 pounds smaller.
No, he's 6'1 3/4", 221. Ran a 4.39 40-inch vertical, 1.54 10-yard split,
The vert, I was really happy.
And a 10-9 broad. I mean, goodness gracious.
Cool. To me, he's really, an underwear. Really absolutely an underwear Olympics guy. I didn't like the way he played.
Oh, man. So I'm really torn on it. I live in North Carolina. I'm a Panthers fan. Everybody around here loves Leggett. They're just dreaming of him to go to 33, especially after he ran the 4.340. And I don't know how I feel about it. And he is my wide receiver 10 for the class. And it's scary because he was a fifth-year breakout player. That's probably my biggest concern is why wasn't
that's
he
the other
the
thing.
Field
one year of production. That's it.
But the ceiling is astronomical with the skill set he does have. And I didn't have any issues with his route running. His hands were impressive. I thought he did good at the contested catch point. I thought he did good at working out of bounds. I really didn't have a lot of flaws in his actual play. It's more of why wasn't he good the years before?
He's going to be 25, right?
No,
I don't think so. Okay. I think he just turned 23.
Yeah. He's still a pretty, you know, average age prospect.
Old 1 year production. Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane. These are my bullet points.
Oh man. Yeah, I think he's gonna be a good player. I really like him. I probably like him a little bit more than some people. Where's consensus have him at? What do you guys think?
I think it's everywhere. I don't know if there is a consensus, to be honest.
Really? Okay.
Okay. I would guess around wide receiver 10 if I had to throw a guess. But I think you have some people that have him at 5 and 6 and some people that have him at, like, Jesse at, what, 19, I think is where I saw him?
19. Yeah, that's where I have him. I mean, I like Brendan Rice better than I like him.
Really? I like Brendan Rice, too, but I don't like
him. I do as well.
I think
Brendan
Rice
could
be one of those guys.
Ricky Pearsall's 23 as well, just a FYI. Yeah. So they're the same age.
But he's good at football.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Brendan Rice is interesting.
He's going to be one of those guys where I'm like, man, 2 years from now, if you tell me, you know, he was the who's a guy that kind of outperformed in that, you know, fourth round, late third round kind of area. Anyways, if he was like, you know, third or fourth best receiver in the class when it's all said and done, I'm not completely shocked. I mean, I really, really like his game. I just think the floor is pretty low, too.
Yeah.
Javonte Adams. I mean, Davante Adams.
I was like, who's Davante Adams?
I meant Davante Adams.
I was like, is that a prospect? Or
no, I made him up. Davante Adams, didn't he go in the third round?
Yeah. Struggled
a couple years. I mean, there's plenty of guys that, you know, went super late, but I think it's actually pretty mind blowing the number of guys that have been in the top 12, you know, dynasty finishers at wide receiver the last few years that finished or that were drafted outside of the second round. There's a lot of them.
All right. Austin.
Oh, my turn.
I'm not getting a point for that. I already decided. Why do you have Elijah Holyfield as your sixth running back in this class and top of the third tier?
Because this running back class sucks.
I meant Audric Estime. My bad. I think they're
I don't know. Speed. Yeah. I liked his tape. I guess that's the easiest answer. The 40.
Everybody seems to like his tape. He's very violent.
Yeah, and he also thought he was explosive. So it threw me off. Now, it made more sense seeing the sub 1.6 10-yard split. That made me make more sense with the tape I watched that I thought he had some short area burst. He just apparently will get chased down by defensive tackles if he ever breaks one. but he still showed that he was athletic. 38-inch vert, 10.5 broad jump, came in at 5'11", 221. So I'm assuming he honestly probably cut a little bit of weight, if we're going to be honest. But he's the third youngest running back in the class. And like I said, I enjoyed the footwork, vision. I thought the contact balance was really good. he had soft hands. He didn't get to see it a lot, but he caught majority of the passes that came his way. And it just, I'm assuming he's going to go somewhere that, like, I'd love for him to go to Green Bay in the third or fourth round, let him work with Aaron Jones, you know, be the new A.J. Dillon, get in there and get, you know, 8 to 15 touches when Dillon's hurt. I mean, when Jones is hurt, then, you know, he'll get to see more. But it's a floor play, let's be honest.
I think that's, you know, exactly right. For touchdowns. A.J. Dillon.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Mm-hmm. I think he's a better running back than A.J. Dillon, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I got one more little fun thing I learned. So he has a higher 10-yard or more run rate than Trey Benson. So he broke more long runs than Trey Benson, percentage-wise.
Could have a lot to do with the line play and competition.
Yeah, I just thought it was funny.
So you like him better than Braylon Allen or Bucky Irving?
Yeah, Allen and him are basically neck and neck. With Allen not testing, it kind of told me that he also knows he's slow. So if he knows he's slow, then I'm going to assume he's slow.
What a fall from grace there, huh?
Yeah.
He was like the RB1.
He absolutely was.
Heavy.
Well, behind Travion, but yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole third, this tier that I have from 6 to 10, it just, if the NFL believes in one of them, or if one of them goes to the landing spot I like, then I'll just pick them above the guy. So, we'll see. You know.
So it's more about this class being crappy.
Me having no faith in this class, yes. Like, Will Shipley, who I have at 10 right now, could easily be 6 when the NFL draft's over. If he goes somewhere, I feel like he's going to get good receiving work.
Yeah, if Shipley gets any kind of draft capital and looks like he'll have a backup role or a, you know, second running back role, I could see myself taking him in the third or fourth round, I guess.
I mean, truth be told, like after 2 for me, draft capital decides everything. Like, it's just a bunch of guys, a bunch of warm bodies. I mean, all have their upside, but they just have to find the draft capital and the right opportunity. And until we see where they land, I mean, it's all whatever for me. So,
yeah, I do like Jalen Wright, actually, but again, if the NFL disagrees with me, I'm not going to insist on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. After Jonathan Brooks, I don't really care. Just
I like Benson.
Just a good spot. Man, he's my 2.
I like Benson too. Yeah. He's 1A for me. I like Brooks and Benson a lot.
And y'all know I like Corum. Y'all know I like Corum. But all of these backs and every back in this class, it, to me, is like susceptible to getting the Tank Bigsby, Charbonnet, Roschon Johnson treatment, where they're never really going to have the chance to be a lead back. It could absolutely happen. But if it doesn't
happen.
Yeah, but if it doesn't, like if Trey Benson goes to the Giants, I'll definitely be higher on him than the rest of them. Even though their line sucks, he'll just have a clear path to touches.
I was about to say, even though we just went, 212 in our draft last week?
Yeah.
And if there's the Giants.
If there's one thing about the Giants, they'll give you the ball, you know, 20 times a game if they need to. So, I don't know.
You seem to be higher on J.J. McCarthy than the rest of us. Do you want to defend that before we go? Like, you have him the same tier as Jaden Daniels.
Well, this is going to be a really quick argument for me. The NFL seems to like him a lot. And, I mean, I'm just deferring to their judgment. He just didn't get a lot of opportunity. And if they see something they really, really like for him and he gets a draft capital and he ends up on one of these teams, I mean, there's a good chance he ends up with, you know, Atlanta. And, I mean, if that's the case, then, yeah, I mean, he's
– Or Minnesota.
Yeah.
Or the Raiders.
Yeah.
I mean, the Raiders feel perfect for me. They feel so primed to overdraft like the fourth guy that's, you know, kind of fourth guy in a 3-quarterback draft.
If you're telling me that one of these teams that have some good surrounding cast are able to go get J.J. McCarthy and the NFL likes him this much. And of course, it could all be smoke and mirrors. Until it happens, right? There was very limited opportunity for JJ McCarthy to really show what he can do in his offense. But I'm really excited to see what he can do outside of the Michigan offense. And like I said, if the NFL likes him as much as, you know, all indications are saying they do right now, then he's right there for me. And if he's available at 106, you know, 107, then that is like my favorite pick in the class, I think.
All right. Question for you. Jesse told me y'all have a draft the beginning of April, rookie draft. Mm-hmm. Let's say you have the 106. Are you taking JJ McCarthy there before you know he gets drafted in the early to mid first or even mid to late first?
Well, it's a 14 team league.
So let's say 108 then. Let's, you know, anywhere 106 to 108. Are you taking him?
So what I was saying, yeah, I probably would because it's a 14 team and it's so hard to get quarterbacks in that class. So that makes it a little bit easier. But yeah, it definitely makes it a more difficult decision because it could just as easily be a, which I don't think Willis. It is, but Will Levis is the one that I was thinking. Where Will Levis, I mean, a couple of days before the draft, it was Vegas was saying he was going too. So, I mean, it's one of those things, like, you never know what they're putting out there and why they're putting it out there. So, I mean, it's hard to believe looking back on it now that, I mean, Vegas is saying he had the second highest odds he had the highest odds to go second in the draft, you know, a week before the NFL draft. So, you never know.
Chad, what do you know what pick you have in that draft? What firsts?
Where I have JJ McCarthy? Like where?
No. What picks you have in that Ming Dynasty League?
I'm in the what do you call it? Dispersal.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Right, yeah, we're having a dispersal in that league, and I joined the dispersal. I won the league not this past year, but the year before, and I'm in the dispersal this year.
I'm in a deep rebuild. I don't think I'm going dispersal though. I have too many good assets at this point.
Yeah,
I have 102, and I have 113, so I think I'm just gonna hold.
Yeah, those are good picks in this class for sure.
And I seem to have hit on my two quarterback dart throws last year. Took Stroud and AR.
You hit one of
them. Fingers crossed. Yeah, fingers crossed on AR. I still need one more quarterback, but I have 102. So.
Well, I mean, a hit, you hit. You hit. I mean, as of right now, you hit because his value is high. So you can get what you need to get from him. So as of right now, it's a hit. That could change tomorrow, but as of right now, it's a hit.
Right.
Yeah, that's like the one thing that I'm always, you know, having to remind not just other people, but myself constantly is it's not where a player ultimately ends up. It's when you get rid of the player, that's what decides if it's a hit or not. Right. One of my biggest draft hits in recent memory for me is Kadarius Toney, and absolute shit player. And it ended up in the trash, but I was able to get so much value off of Kadarius Toney because of where I got him in draft classes and where I ended up selling him at the end of it. So you get out at the right time, and even a miss as a player can be a hit as a dynasty draft pick.
Gabe Davis for me.
Yeah, another one.
Just I had so much free Gabe Davis and then like was selling him for way more than I should have. Just for better players for the most part. Cortland Sutton was like that for a while too. Made some money off that.
Pre-injury Cortland Sutton. Mm-hmm. I think that's Keon Coleman. That's a good comp for me. It's Cortland Sutton.
I can see it.
Pre-injury.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Anything else? I mean, I think we hit all the players except for Malik Washington. I don't really feel like I have a strong defense on Malik Washington. I have him lumped in a group of players is why I have him there. Okay. I do love his physicality, and I've heard some buzz that the NFL may like him. And that's really what it is for me. His size and build and his overall game make me suspicious that he will have like an intermediate and downfield game. But you know, we'll see where he goes. And if the NFL likes him and he goes to the right spot, I'm going to really like him because I love his toughness. You know, that dude's a dog. So it's kind of why I have him. Kind of why I have him there.
Cool. That seems fair.
Thumbs up. All right.
You don't get a thumbs up for that. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Sneaking some last second points.
I was wondering.
All right, Austin, you're the winner.
Oh,
you get two clear thumbs ups. Because I did all three
of them. Is that why?
You got two clear thumbs ups.
Oh, cool.
Did I even go?
I don't know. No, he went three times. Lloyd Baker Estime. Yeah, you did. Coleman, Franklin, J.J. McCarthy. You didn't sell me on J.J. McCarthy at all.
I don't think he sold himself on it, for to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the truth, man. It's I mean, it's a coin toss on these quarterbacks. Anybody saying otherwise, just pretending.
I hear you. It's the cautionary tale. For me, it's the cautionary tale of Matt Corral and Will Levis to a lesser degree.
Malik Willis, that's the one we don't ever talk about. The pre-draft 102.
Ritter.
Oh. Yeah. He's sucked anyway.
I mean, yeah, he didn't get the draft capital. Yeah, I mean, that's like I said, it's contingent on draft capital, right? Like, it's all about the draft capital because draft capital equals opportunity equals, you know, what the guys running the show think of these guys. And yeah, I mean, it could be a fail. I mean, but we've seen plenty of guys that we don't like pre-draft process that end up being really, really good players post-college. So we'll see how it works out with the quarterbacks. If any of us could win 60% of the time on quarterbacks, we'd be very, very rich.
You got that right. We'd be on an NFL team, not doing this podcast. That's what we'd be doing.
Exactly. Exactly.
I tell you, my last thought is that last year's class felt jumbled. We didn't know who to elevate over the other guys. This year's class feels like that as well, but for a different reason. This year, it's because they're all good. Last year, it was because they were all meh.
Well, last year, we had a lot of these guys that were supposed to come out then and didn't. So we're getting them all this year and last year's guys together. So that's a big reason for this, and we'll see. It's going to save the 2025 class. The running backs that didn't come out this year, that come in next year, is going to save next year's class because otherwise the quarterbacks look terrible. Mm-hmm. But we got a long way to go for that. So,
yeah, right on. Yeah, we do. All right, gentlemen. Anything else before we go?
Yeah. Bye, Bryce Young.
What's his cost?
I got him like a late first. Yeah, I was going to say a late first.
Late first? Take Bryce Young for late first all day long. You think I can get him for that?
I've seen it multiple done trades, so yeah. I don't know if you can. The problem is everywhere I've tried, Chad has them. So the answer is no for me. Every single place. Three leagues I looked at, I was like, ooh, I'm going to buy Bryce. This is the league to do it. Just kidding. No, it's not.
He's my most owned player in Dynasty, like by far. It's not even close. I got him. I traded Stroud and Jaden Daniels for a third, Nico Collins and Justin Herbert. And I traded I turned around and traded Collins for Bryce Young. So,
what is Bryce Young's value compared to Justin Fields?
I traded Bryce Young and Charbonnet for Fields in week 15 last year, but to me, they're about dead even. I would prefer Young because he has the safety, but I think for fantasy, they're going to be very similar.
I don't think so. I think if you're trying to get Justin Fields from somebody that has Bryce Young, and this is coming from somebody who has no Justin Fields and doesn't want any Justin Fields, if you have Justin Fields and you're trying to trade him for Bryce Young straight up, they're asking for an early second at least.
Bryce Young and an early second.
Yeah, at least. At least.
That's
Bryce
what
Bryce Young's value is so low, and Fields' values just keeps getting higher and higher the longer this offseason goes on. I'm not quite sure why. I think people are just banking on a really good landing spot and hoping, you know, he
greener pastures.
Yeah, he turns into the player that everybody thinks he's going to be. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think he's probably 105 right now is what you have to pay to get Justin Fields. 105, 106.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I'd sell him for
I would sell him for that, but I wouldn't take much less than that. All right. That was a fun little discussion. We're right at an hour. Awesome. Just want to remind everybody to like and subscribe the DWZ Network. You get amazing content. You get our show. You get Dallas Hyatt. You get the main show. Like, all of this for free. If you join the Patreon, you get an amazing chat. I mean, yeah, I think you get access to Dallas or Memphis's show early. You get all kinds of awesome perks. And you get to be in leagues with us. So, no better value than DWZ Network. Anything else, guys? Did I already say that? We are out.
Peace.
Chase my problems and time keeps on dragging. Can't get away from the fact I've been slacking. Oh, despite the cost, you know I got to trot on.
Hey. Now it's a long, long road and every day it is a struggle. Still we try to get ahead and turn a single into a double. Every curve we face along the road it is the trouble. Try to wreck, we try to turn, we into rubble. Say it's not easy.
Oy, oy.
Won't you believe me?
Oh no.
Don't mean to sound like it's a cliche.
Hey,
but the one thing we know, you only reap that you sow, and the crop that you owe.